Welcome, welcome, welcome. I would like to welcome you to episode 410 of the Unpopular Podcast. This is the man, the myth, the legend, Jalen Hunter. Here at the Unpopular Podcast, I'm not really asking you to agree with me. I'm asking you to hear me out. To start this episode and to explain majority of this episode, I'm going to have to harken back to 2016. For people that complain that I talk about the Golden State Warriors too much, okay. You know, one of the reasons why I talk about the Golden State Warriors, that team, you know, with Kevin Durant and Steph Curry, is because that team describes a lot of what we see today in a lot of aspects, from the good to the bad. That Golden State Warriors team is an example, is an amalgamation of a lot of things that happen in today's sports. And the reason why I'm starting this episode by going back to 2016, because let's look at why and how that Golden State Warriors team even happened. Yes, we can talk about the deals that Steph Curry was getting because of his chronic ankle injuries, which definitely helped out the Golden State Warriors in having enough cap space to get a Kevin Durant down the road. We can also talk about, you know, the pay cuts that Andre Iguodala was willing to take and the contracts that they were giving Klay Thompson and Draymond Green. But the biggest reason why that move happened, why Kevin Durant was able to go from the Oklahoma City Thunder to the Golden State Warriors, is because of the cap spike. And the first time in the history of the NBA, in the history of basketball, the cap was the highest it's ever been at that time. And because of that, and it was rare too, because the cap very rarely spikes in sports. Because of the TV deals and the new deals that the NBA was getting, that cap spike, which happened once once in a generation, gave Golden State the room to get Kevin Durant, as well as keep a Steph Curry, keep a Klay Thompson, keep a Draymond Green, keep an Andre Iguodala. Well, the reason why I wanted to start this episode with that cap spike is because that is exactly what we're seeing in the NFL. Spoiler alert, most of this episode is going to be talking about some of the moves that happened. Not all of them, but some of the moves that happened so far in this NFL free agency. And there are a lot of people that are confused because there's teams that went into the free agency market with no money at all, but they're trying to figure out how they're able to keep players or how they're able to sign these players. Well, it's because of the cap spike. I think the cap went last year, the cap was at $224.8 million. This year, because of the cap spike, it is now $255.4 million. That's nearly $31 million more. That can do a lot for a team. So you're wondering how the Kansas City Chiefs is able to keep Snead with the franchise tag and able to re-sign Chris Jones. That is exactly why. You see, that was going to be one of the biggest casualties, in my opinion, with this free agency market, because nobody, I knew that the cap was going to go up, but I didn't think it was going to go up $30 million, which goes back to the Kevin Durant Golden State Warriors.
If that cap never raised, if it never went up as much as it did, we would have never got the Golden State Warriors. We would have never got that dynasty. Now, I'm not saying that because of the cap, there's going to be an infinite amount of dynasties in the NFL. Please don't hear me say that. But what I'm saying is teams that had a very, let's say, questionable future now has more wiggle room to play with, like the Kansas City Chiefs. I didn't think that they were going to fall off a cliff, but I do think that if they want to remain in the championship caliber team, or if they want to be considered one of those teams year after year to win a championship, obviously you need Patrick Mahomes, but Chris Jones is one of those people that you needed. And I didn't think, especially when we saw the saga that happened a year ago with Chris Jones and his contract, I just didn't think it was feasible. But getting an extra $30 million definitely helps. And you're seeing that all throughout the league when you're seeing contract after contract, big deal after big deal. This is going to, we're starting to see it now. This is shaping not only next year, but years to come when you're seeing people get 2-, 3-, 4-year deals. That is because of this cap spike. But let's move on to one of the biggest and one of the first moves that actually happened, and that was Russell Wilson going to the Pittsburgh Steelers. I understand that there's two ways that you can quantify this move. There's a positive way and there's a negative way. And I also understand that you're only as good as the film you put on tape. If you don't put good film, you're not going to be considered good. And the thing about sports and the thing about how we look at this NFL life is a lot of people discredit what has happened before and look at the recent, which I understand. I understand what happened 3, 4, 5 years ago has really no credence on what's happening now. Because what's happening now is what's happening now. There's teams. You remember the Jacksonville Jaguars, the team that went to the AFC Championship and played against the New England Patriots? They had Blake Bortles. Obviously, that team has no bearing on this team. And they haven't been to the AFC Championship or even close since. Well, they did get to the second round a year or two ago. This Russell Wilson move has generated a lot of conversation, a lot of talk about not only him, but the Pittsburgh Steelers. There's no question, especially if you go back and look at, you know, some of the takes that I've had about Russell Wilson and some of the takes that I've had about his future. I thought that the Pittsburgh Steelers was the best position and best team for him to go to. Why is that? Because, like I just stated, you're only as good as what you put on film. On top of that, your film tells almost everything you need to know about that player, at least on the field. And what does Russell Wilson's film show us? What does Russell Wilson's film tell us? Well, while yes, if you want to credit Russell Wilson for making it to 2 Super Bowls back in his Seattle days, that's completely understandable. But what we have seen from Russell Wilson is he is still an elite quarterback, but he is an elite quarterback that needs, let me say this, I don't know if Russell Wilson is at that position in his career anymore where he can make anything work. We saw that with the Denver Broncos and how much he struggled with trying to fit into a Nathaniel Hackett system and early on trying to fit into a Sean Payton situation and not having a good offensive line, not having reliable receivers, maybe big name receivers, but not reliable receivers, and having a terrible defense. We saw Russell Wilson struggle mightily. Maybe the same Russell Wilson early on in the Seattle days could have overcome that, but this is not early on in the Seattle days. Russell Wilson is still an incredible quarterback, in my opinion. He had one of the highest touchdown or interception touchdown ratio. He had the same amount of touchdowns, I believe, as Patrick Mahomes last year. He was still a good quarterback. The issue was it wasn't producing as many wins as it was projected to. Now I know he went on with a 4 or 5 or 6 game win streak, but you know, obviously it didn't make the playoffs. I think Russell Wilson is in that category with, if you have everything right around him, a good offensive line, good weapons, good running backs, a solid defense, a good coaching staff, you can still get a really, really good quarterback. And when you look at the landscape of all the teams that were in need of a quarterback going into the offseason, to me, the Pittsburgh Steelers was the best one. Whether we talk about Mike Tomlin and his coaching staff, even though I'm still kind of confused as to why they have Arthur Smith, but hey. But you have Mike Tomlin. You have, it's not the best offensive line, but you have a better offensive line than you did in Denver. You have some solid pieces, whether you have talk about George Pickens, Pat Freiermuth, the running back, Najee Harris, and a really good defense. It looks like the Steelers just got Patrick Queen. So you pair Patrick Queen with TJ Watt. Gone are the days, in my opinion, that Russell Wilson can make anything happen with any roster. I don't know if it's just the hits that he's taken on his body, just the age, even though he's not that much older. Gone are those days where he can do anything with anyone. But I still think that this was one of the best, at least for a team and a player, this was one of the best marriages that we've seen in this free agency market. Now, the issue with this move is something that has nothing to do with Russell Wilson, something that kind of has everything to do with just the state of the league, and that is the division that he is in now. I said this last year, and it reigned supreme, that the NFC North, AFC North, is by far, in my opinion, the best division in football. You have MVPs. You have teams like the Cincinnati Bengals and Joe Burrow that has won a Super Bowl in the last 3 years. And you have the Cleveland Browns. This is not going to be... I don't know where the expectations lie. I think that there's some people that are expecting a catapult of success for the Steelers because of their history. I just don't know. I will say this. I think that this has everything to do with just the talent that is in the division. I do think that Russell Wilson is probably the third best quarterback right now, especially everything that we've seen from Deshaun Watson. I think that Russell Wilson is the third best quarterback in that, third best quarterback, because I'm not putting him over Lamar Jackson. I'm definitely not putting him over a healthy Joe Burrow. It's just going to be tough. Now, I talked about when he went to the Denver Broncos, I said that that move was going to be career-defining, Hall of Fame-defining. And as we saw what transpired, I think it hurt his cases to be a Hall of Famer more than it helped. I am doubling and tripling down on this move with Pittsburgh. You see, what's helping Russell Wilson is the Pittsburgh Steelers need him. Because the alternative that they have is Kenny Pickett, Mason Rudolph, much, much. Even if you think that Russell Wilson isn't the best quarterback, trust me, he is much better than Kenny Pickett and Mason Rudolph. So what's helping him in this case is he is needed and needed badly. And I think that I don't think you're just knowing Mike Tomlin and his track record, they're not just going to give him the starting position. But I think that he is in prime position to win that starting position day one. So you're going to a team that needs you. So not only does the team need you, you need the team because you need a boost. Even though you did have a good year last year, everything that happened with his relationship with Sean Payton, his relationship with some of the teammates, he just needs a good boost right now. And when you're going to a team and a coach that wants you and needs you, I think that that helps the situation tenfold. Because remember, the thing that was talked about, especially with the Broncos move, is Sean Payton didn't pick him. And it was early on, you could tell that that marriage between Sean Payton and Russell Wilson was not going to work. So you're going to a team that's in desperate need of quarterback help, and that feels that they're a quarterback away. And feels, when you talk to the brass in Pittsburgh, they want Russell Wilson. And he is one of the most attractive quarterbacks because of his contract. Now, if I don't think he'd be on a team, I don't think he definitely wouldn't be wearing black and gold if they had to front the whole bill for Russell Wilson. I don't think that when we talk about contracts and everything, I don't think that Russell Wilson has played to the standard of the contract that was given to him. And I think that's one of the biggest reasons why he's out of Denver. But the fact that the Steelers only have to pay $1 million pretty much, and the Denver Broncos are still on the hook for like $38, $39 million, he's pretty much free. If you talk about football terms, he's pretty much free for the Steelers. So it's a win-win. Even if he doesn't work out, you can consider him a bridge quarterback. So you're going to a situation that's a win-win for you. And there you have every opportunity to succeed. I think that Russell Wilson needs to take this opportunity and make the best of it. And I think he will. I think what's going to hurt him the most, obviously, like I just said, is you're in the toughest division. And that's kind of what hurt him with Denver. I mean, you're going to a division with Patrick Mahomes, with Justin Herbert. That's going to be tough. I don't know if the expectation, probably around the Steelers, the expectation is to win. But I don't know in the league that the expectation for the Pittsburgh Steelers is honestly to win. When you look at how good the Ravens have been the last few years, and you look at how good a healthy Cincinnati Bengals are this year, or have been, it is interesting to see what's going to happen with T. Higgins. But with some good, there's always some bad. Not always, but in this situation, there is some good and there is some bad. I just talked about the division being bad, but I also want to talk about something that unfortunately is going to be attached to his name, and that is somebody else. You see, I still have faith in Russell Wilson. I think that that faith can definitely be tarnished and dashed this year if he comes out and struggles mightily. But there's a lot of people that have lost faith in him. And on top of that, there's still a quarterback out there that a lot of people feels, at least at this point, is, I'm not going to say better than Russell Wilson now, but has the potential to be better than Russell Wilson, and that is Justin Fields. I haven't thrown Justin Fields away like a lot of people have. I just think that Justin Fields, like Russell Wilson, is one of those quarterbacks that need a lot to go right around him. The difference, obviously, between Russell Wilson and Justin Fields is the age and the opportunity of growth moving forward. I think Russell Wilson's best days is behind him. Not saying he's trash, but I think his best days are behind him. I think Justin Fields has the potential to have his best days in front of him. And what's unfortunate for Justin Fields and Russell Wilson is it's clear that the Bears are moving on from Justin Fields and more than likely going to use that number one overall pick to get Caleb Love. And Caleb Love? Not Caleb Love, I'm sorry. That is definitely Arizona. Get Caleb Williams. And that means that the Pittsburgh Steelers had the option to trade for Justin Fields. I know that they're trying to ask for a first-round pick. I doubt that's going to happen, especially when you see, you know, what he has produced and what, you know, what's going on with him and how he's looked on the field. But imagine wherever Justin Fields goes, he lights it up and Russell Wilson does not. That's going to be a blemish if I've ever seen one. I think that, me personally, I think that the Pittsburgh Steelers and Russell Wilson were perfect for each other. And I don't think there's going to be much success because of the division that they're going to be in. But I do think that if we're talking about extending extending Mike Tomlin's wins or winning season streak, I think that that definitely is in play. But I just don't know. I just don't know if, you know, I don't know. I think that it was a good move for both. This move, I'm interested to see what happens with Justin Fields. I'm interested to see where he lands, because I think that where he lands, there's going to be a brass of people that's always going to connect Justin Fields to Russell Wilson. I hear a lot of people say that he costs too much. Well, like I just started the episode with, there was a cap spike. And on top of that, Justin Fields is kind of out of options at this point. So I'm almost sure if you go to a place, you're going to restructure his deal. I mean, who knows? Who knows? But yeah, I think there's a lot of people that can't really get the stain out of the first year that Russell Wilson had in Denver. Because if we talk about last year, he's still a top-tier quarterback. Not, obviously, top five or top ten or something, but he's still, I think he can still be considered a top 10 quarterback in the league, especially if you just look at last year. But a lot of people cannot get that first year in Denver out their head. And also, I've talked about this before, Russell Wilson does need to do a lot himself, whether we talk about, it still seems like there's a disconnect between him and his teammates. Like there hasn't really been many teammates that come out and speak glowingly about him. I guess it's a personality thing. I don't know, but the last thing you want to do, especially when you saw how your stint in Seattle ended, how your stint in Denver ended, I think that it would be beneficial to him to wrap his arms around his teammates. Maybe he does. I don't know. But there's a lot of teammates that come out and don't speak as glowingly as you would think about a franchise quarterback. So I just think that I don't know. We'll see. One thing I will say about this free agency market is it has made this next NFL season extremely, and I mean extremely interesting. Let's move on to the second biggest, let's say, domino that fell, and that was Saquon Barkley going from the Giants to the Eagles. Let me first speak on Tiki Barber and his comments, talking about how I think he felt like he was speaking for the Giants organization, the Giants fan base, and saying that Saquon Barkley is dead to us, i.e. the Giants fan base. I think that this is a perfect example of what exactly is wrong with how people view sports. Again, I understand a fan. I understand that fan is short for fanatic. And 9 times out of 10, a fan who is a fan of a team is always going to pick the team over a player. I understand that. I get that wholeheartedly. But I think that there has to be a level of understanding and honesty about situations at hand. I understand that it probably hurts Giants fans that Saquon Barkley chose a divisional rival in the Eagles. And he makes the Eagles considerably better than the Giants right now. But in my opinion, and I'm a Washington fan, so this affects me as well. But in my opinion, the frustration, the vitriol, the hate, the anger that is going towards Saquon Barkley needs to go towards the Giants brass, the Giants GM, the people that signed the contract. There's been several instances where Saquon Barkley has said that he wants to be a Giant for life. And I see a lot of people calling him a liar, not understanding that for Saquon Barkley to be a Giant for life, that decision is honestly out of his hands. You can go back to when they gave Daniel Jones the contract and we're saying, yo, why would you pay Daniel Jones that much money and he's not even the best player on the team? Or why would you prioritize? I understand the instance and the thought of prioritizing the quarterback, but why would you prioritize a quarterback when your best player, who is a running back, and you need him, has already voiced his frustration, already voiced his need and want to get a new contract? Once they paid Daniel Jones, I knew that that whole Saquon Barkley is going to be a Giant for everything was out the window. Once Saquon Barkley threatened to hold out, and I think essentially did hold out for like a couple days of training camp, I knew it was over. People, this whole Saquon Barkley situation is a prime example of how people do not hold organizations to the same standard that they hold players. And I've said this time and time again, while you play for these teams, these players are their own entities. These players are the only ones that are going to have their best interest, because a team, yes, they pay you, but a team is always going to do what's best for the team. So a player should always do what's best for the player. Which is why I never get upset and I never bat an eye when I see players don't take a discount, or when I see players that are hurt go to outside opinions, because the inside opinion is always going to do what's best for the team. So So, Tiki Barber, or anyone that shares the same viewpoints as Tiki Barber does with this situation, why is all that hate and frustration not towards the organization that reports came out saying they did not even give him a contract to negotiate during this period? Or this organization that prioritized a much inferior quarterback over their best player. I think Saquon Barkley is going to do wonders for the Eagles. I still don't really trust Nick Sirianni. That defense, especially the secondary, is not looking too hot, to say the least. So I don't know if I will say this. I do think that Saquon Barkley is much better than DeAndre Swift, and shouts out to him. I think he went to the Texans. But if you want to be upset with somebody, be upset with the person that's cashing the checks, because obviously they were unwilling to give Saquon Barkley not only what he felt he deserved, but give Saquon Barkley a contract, because again, reports are coming out that they did not even offer Saquon Barkley a contract. And again, as unfortunate as it is, he goes to a divisional rival. A divisional rival which unfortunately values him more than the team that he was currently on. You know how crazy that is? That a divisional rival values a player more than the team that has them? And you're getting upset with the player. In fact, and I'm talking, I know Tiki's obviously not listening, but do you remember the end of Tiki Barber's career? How that went? Now, yes, he obviously played his entire career with the Giants and retired a Giant, but does anybody, especially Giants fans, remember how the end of Tiki Barber happened? All I'm saying is, I can't point my finger and call somebody fat. If I was Tiki Barber, I wouldn't be the most vocal when we talk about players wanting what's best for them. I think Saquon Barkley did what was best for him, and I will always champion a player choosing themselves over a team, because a team would do that tenfold to them. Now, if you want to, again, if you want to break down the actual move, I think it was a good move for the Eagles. I think that there's a lot of other things that they needed. I look at this move too. I look at it from the Saquon Barkley side, and I look at it from the Eagles side. If I look at it from the Eagles side, I think it's a good move. I just think it was an unnecessary move, seeing as though there's a lot more issues that need to be addressed. Like, a lot more issues. And especially, like last year, their biggest hurdle was, or their biggest issue was the defense. And seeing as though Fletcher Cox retires, and of course, this is off the backs of Jason Kelce retiring, there's a lot more holes that need to be filled other than the running back. And I don't think that Swift was a bad running back. I just think the defense was bad. And something happened with Jalen Hurts last year, and it just, he kind of plummeted as well. So, I don't know. I mean, if you're making a all Madden team, yeah, having Jalen Hurts, A.J. Brown, Saquon Barkley, that sounds good. Devontae Smith, Dallas Goedert, that's a great team. But what about that secondary? And has Nick Sirianni proven that he can be the primary play caller or the primary voice of a great team? Well, I know he's a head coach. Once, you know, that the Shane Steichen was out of there, it was curtains for that team. So, and then Saquon Barkley, I understand why you would go to that team. I mean, you go from Daniel Jones to Jalen Hurts. You go from an organization that hasn't been really relevant since Eli Manning to a team that is 2 years removed from being in the Super Bowl. So I get it. And on top of everything, you go to a team that has showed that they value you. At least value you more than the team that you are currently on. So I think it's interesting, and I think that we'll see what happens next. And again, this move makes next year extremely, extremely interesting. I talked about Justin Fields, and in discussing Justin Fields, both earlier this episode and in previous episodes when I was talking about him, the team, what I said was, if you're going to trade Justin Fields, which all indications, all reports are saying that the Chicago Bears are moving forward in trading him. I said, if you're going to trade him, the team that to me fits the best would have been the Atlanta Falcons. When you have young talents scattered throughout the entire team, the only issue, honestly, is the defense. The defense definitely needs to be worked on. But offensively, I can't say that they would not surround him with pieces and weapons, because they have a litany of them. Whether we talk about Kyle Pitts, Bijan Robinson, Drake London, they have a good handful of talent. And that was the team that was pretty much thrown into circulation every single time we talked about the potential of Justin Fields getting traded. So, imagine my shock when I see Kirk Cousins sign, I think, a 4-year deal with Atlanta. Now, yes, we did hear also Kirk Cousins' name get thrown in the ring, but you're coming off of, I think, Achilles injury, so you're not going to be ready at the start of the season. I was just confused as to how you would choose him, Kirk Cousins, over Justin Fields. First and foremost, which bus should be sitting right next to Deion Sanders' bus at the Hall of Fame? The Kirk Cousins agent. Agent, should go down in history as one of the greatest agents in NFL history. Do you know that Kirk Cousins has made almost the same amount of career money as Patrick Mahomes? Do you know that Kirk Cousins has made more career money currently, as we speak, than Lamar Jackson? In fact, do you know that as we currently speak, Kirk Cousins is one of the highest paid NFL players in the history of the sport? I'm never going to say that someone doesn't deserve the money that they get. I think you deserve the money that someone's willing to pay you and that you're willing to negotiate. And obviously, obviously Kirk Cousins' agent is a Hall of Famer in that sense. So I think he got 4 years, over $100 million or something for the Falcons. Now, let's get a little serious and let's talk about the actual move. I was confused for a second as to why you would get Kirk Cousins. Now, I think that there's a stigma. I think that there's a misconception that I think that people think I think Kirk Cousins sucks. People think that I think the way that I've described and talk about Kirk Cousins, I think that Kirk Cousins is trash. And that is furthest from the truth. You know what Kirk Cousins is? Kirk Cousins is vanilla ice cream. Now, me personally, I love vanilla ice cream. It's not my favorite. My favorite is strawberry. But there's absolutely nothing wrong with vanilla ice cream. Now, obviously, there are more flashy flavors like, you know, cookies and cream, cookie dough, confetti. But the tried and true, the flavor that can do no wrong, the flavor that you can always fall back on because it's going to taste the same almost every time is vanilla. Nobody is going to give vanilla a Nobel Peace Prize. Nobody is going to give vanilla the MVP. But vanilla is extremely important because you can always lean on vanilla and you know exactly what vanilla is going to taste like. Whether that's regular vanilla or French vanilla. Tastes the same. Kirk Cousins. Kirk, there's always going to be a cap on Kirk Cousins' talent. That doesn't mean that Kirk Cousins is not talented. That doesn't mean that you can't win games. You can't get to the playoffs with Kirk Cousins. That doesn't mean that Kirk Cousins can't get the best out of some of your players. But what I'm saying is there's always a cap. And that cap is not the same cap as a Patrick Mahomes, as a Lamar Jackson, as a Trevor Lawrence, as a Justin Herbert, as a Jalen Hurts. I was confused as to why they would go with an injured, recovering, obviously, quarterback, then Justin Fields, and then it hit me. And not only did it hit me, as I thought about it more, this was a perfect decision for the Falcons. When you look at the history of the Super Bowl, and you look at the history of the Super Bowl winners, kind of like the same thing as the history of the NBA playoffs or NBA champions, there are certain ingredients that you need to win in the playoffs, to advance to the playoffs, and ultimately get to the championship or the Super Bowl. Obviously, one of them is talent. You need a superior talent at the quarterback position. You need superior talent around the field. While we always talk about Patrick Mahomes, who is obviously a superior talent, so is Travis Kelce, so is Chris Jones, so is Legarius Sneed. So is Isaiah Pacheco. And while I don't think Kirk Cousins is a superior talent, there is superior talent on this Falcons team. Bijan Robinson, Kyle Pitts, Drake London, superior talent, Jesse Bates. And the thing that all of them have in common, maybe outside of Jesse Bates, but the thing that, you know, Drake, London, Kyle Pitts, Bijan, all of them have in common is they're young. And when you look throughout that Falcons roster, especially on the offensive side, they didn't really have a grown-up. They didn't really have a veteran. That's something that all teams also that win a championship have, a veteran-led team or a veteran-led team. Steph Curry and the Golden State Warriors, Nikola Jokic, Giannis Antetokounmpo. They also had Jrue Holiday. Again, I'm not saying that this move puts the Atlanta Falcons in that championship caliber class. But what I am saying is, not only is Kirk Cousins a good quarterback, but he is a veteran. And I think that he can get the best out of the younger players, the youth, than someone like a Justin Fields, who I don't think is trash, but is also young. On top of that, you're playing in a very, very, as especially as we saw last year, a very winnable division in the NFC South. Now, I did see Baker got paid. Shouts out to Baker. But outside of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, I don't really know what's going to happen with the Saints. I mean, it looks like Michael Thomas might get released. I don't know. And we saw some high highs and some low lows with Derek Carr last year. I don't know if, you know. And a lot of people had the Atlanta Falcons as one of the better teams in that division last year before, obviously, they trotted out Desmond Ridder. So all I'm saying is, while I was confused at first as to why you wouldn't go with the younger, healthy quarterback, it makes perfect sense. You need someone that you need more of a veteran, more of a proven veteran. And I'm not saying proven as, you know, someone that has proven to be a Super Bowl caliber. No, Kirk Cousins ain't that. Neither is Justin Fields. But someone that has proven that they can be a leader of men. And someone that has proven that they can be a good veteran. On top of that, Kirk Cousins has played with some good players. Like Jordan Addison, Stephon Diggs. Like, he's played with some good players. Justin Jefferson. So he knows how to get the best out of some of these players, which they're hoping that you can get the best out of a Drake London and a Kyle Pitts. So I think that, sneakily, that was one of the best free agent acquisitions. At first, I was confused. But when I sat down and really thought about it and thought how valuable Kirk Cousins is going to be for this team, especially when we talk about the growth of their young players, which I think that that's kind of the biggest reason why they signed him over Justin Fields. I think that was arguably the best free agent signing so far. Now, there's obviously some big free agent. As we speak and as we're recording, there are some big free agents like Danielle Hunter. He's still out there. What's going to happen with what's going to happen with someone like a Jadeveon Clowney? What's going to happen with someone like a Cameron Curl, Kyle Fuller? You know, the Justin Simmons is still out there. So as of right now, obviously there's still some big names and they're going teams take big swings. But I'm interested to see exactly how I think that could arguably be the best move so far in the free agent. You know what free agency also shows you? The value of a position, the value of a player, the value of, or how teams value the position. You remember, this fight's been going on for a while, but the fight that the running backs have had with the league and trying to get equal pay. Well, I started this episode talking about the cap spike. Well, the cap spike has helped running backs more than anyone. When you see just the litany of running backs and where they've gone and how much they've gotten paid, what they're telling you, what free agency is telling you is while they value the running back position, they really only value the running back position when they have more money to give. again, I'm almost 1,000% sure if this cap spike didn't happen, a lot of the moves that you saw from the running back position would not have happened. And we saw a lot of running backs, whether that's Josh Jacobs going to the Packers, whether that's Aaron Jones going to the Vikings, whether that's Joe Mixon going to the Texans, whether that's Austin Eckler going to Washington, whether that's Saquon Barkley going to the Eagles, Derrick Henry going to Baltimore. A lot of those moves would not have been able to happen if it was not for the cap going up. We also see teams stay true to what they believe in. Like, one of the biggest reasons why I've said ever since we heard his name in trade talks, why I said that Derrick Henry would be perfect for Baltimore is because he fits the style that Baltimore is used to since pretty much their inception. And what do you know? Derrick Henry goes to Baltimore. When we talk about the Packers, which, let me, side note. If you want a prime example, like a perfect example of what I mean when I say that you need to, players need to worry about themselves first, put the Saquon Barkley situation aside. Look solely at the Aaron Jones and Joe Mixon situation. Aaron Jones was the starting, very, very successful running back for the Green Bay Packers. Joe Mixon, who just had yet another 1,000-yard season last year, was the starting running back for the Cincinnati Bengals. Obviously, the Bengals and the Green Bay Packers knew that more than likely, they were going to release Aaron Jones and Joe Mixon. You just don't wake up one day and say, you know, yeah, we're going to release them. Unless they do something crazy and egregious, which neither one of them did. They pretty much, their organizations pretty much knew that they were going to be released. And they waited until they got their replacement, i.e., Josh Jacobs going from the going to the Packers, and Devin Singletary, I think, went to the Bengals. But they waited until they got their replacement before they released him. On top of that, they released him after all these moves happened, after the Saquon Barkley move, after the Josh Jacobs moves, after the Tony Pollard move. What I'm saying is, if you were to release them earlier, if you were to release them at the start of free agency, like most of the players, like Eric Armstead got released. If you were to release them at the beginning of free agency, I'm almost sure they could have got a better deal on a better team than they got. Now, yes, I think that Joe Mixon going to the Texans is great for the Texans. It gives CJ Stroud another weapon. And I think Aaron Jones going to the Vikings, we need to see what happens with their quarterback position. But I think that that's going to be good, seeing as though they released Madison. But those were two prime examples, back-to-back, of a team prioritizing themselves over the betterment of the player. So why get upset when a player does the same? When people get so frustrated when a player doesn't accept less money or doesn't accept a pay cut or doesn't try to restructure their deal. They're looked at as selfish. They're looked at as not a team player. They're looked at as a terrible option. Yet and still, we see two teams simultaneously, pretty much drastically affect a player's options to move forward. But you want to sit here and talk about Saquon Barkley, who has given an opportunity, given a team every chance to do the right thing for him. And every single time they have failed. That's all I'm saying, man. But back to the regularly scheduled program. This has been a big, and I mean big swings for running backs. I think Derrick Henry is perfect for the Baltimore Ravens. I think Baltimore Ravens do need, you know, they lost Gus Edwards. He went to the Chargers. I think Ravens do need to, there's a lot of pieces that need, especially on the defensive side of the ball, that need to be, they did get Justin Adepeke. They signed him to a new deal, which was, they did that like maybe a day after they franchise tagged him. So shouts out to them. But yeah, this, the value is never going to be that high for a running back. And I know that because of what people have, what we've seen. Christian McCaffrey is the number one option on the offense for the San Francisco 49ers, the same San Francisco 49ers that were just in the Super Bowl. Yet and still, I'm almost sure that the team looks at Brock Purdy as more of an important piece than Christian McCaffrey. Nothing wrong with that. That's their decision, but that should show you if Christian McCaffrey is not looked at as the number one option, there is never going to be a running back, even as great as Derrick Henry, is going to get as much as wide receivers or quarterbacks. Now, I will say that I think that this Derrick Henry move is one of the better moves, obviously, for free agency, because Derrick Henry is about to be in a situation that he's never been before, and that is you don't have to be Superman. You don't have to carry the team. That run-pass option with him and Lamar Jackson is going to be lethal. Now, yes, they have to get some, I know a couple of their linemen are free agents, so they have to retool the line. But that should show you that, yeah. It's going to be crazy, man. I think I like what the Packers are doing, too. I think they got Xavier from the Giants, man. They're making a lot of moves, too. Washington's making a lot of moves, too. Washington's not really getting any flashy names outside of Austin Eckler, but they're using them. They got Marcus Mariota, though. Hold up. Well, I guess they need a veteran. They need a veteran for whoever quarterback, which, let me tell you something. I've said this off mic. I will say this now. If I'm wrong, I will come in here and say that I'm wrong. But if Washington drafts Drake May over someone like Jalen Daniels or Jaden Daniels, come on now. I might have to hang up my Washington cleats, my fandom cleats, because dude. To me, I don't see much of a difference. When I look at the film, and I don't see much of a difference from Drake May and Sam Howell. You see how Sam Howell went. I could be drastically wrong, but I don't think I am. You have a Heisman winner. Bro, we have the second overall pick. He won the Heisman. How many times? Yes, I understand that it didn't work, you know, with Johnny Manziel. I understand that it didn't work with Tim Tebow. But everything is, if you can't get Caleb Williams, which is looking like more and more that you're not getting him, why not go with the Heisman winner that shows you all the intangibles that can be duplicated in the NFL? But yeah, it's, man, I keep saying this is going to be an interesting year for the NFL, man. Next year, you get people that are hurt, they're going to be back healthy. I'm interested to see what happens. I think that with T. Higgins requesting a trade, that's going to be huge for the, if they do grant it, that's going to be huge for the Bengals, because not only is Tyler Boyd a free agent, but you could possibly lose Tyler Boyd and lose T. Higgins. Now, yes, I understand that you still have Ja'Marr Chase, but you don't have, like, and it's, man, it's going to be interesting what this team looks like. But we'll see, man. We'll see. Oh, let's move on from football for a second. I was going to talk about this last episode, but I just didn't feel like it. So I'll talk about it now, and that is, it is confirmed that Jake Paul is going to be fighting Mike Tyson. I'm not a big boxing connoisseur, you know. I will never sit here and say that I'm an avid boxing fan. When there's people that I like or people that I know, as far as like big names, I'll obviously tune in and talk about it and watch it. But I can't say that I am a pound my fist on the table boxing fan. But in the same breath, I can also see that boxing is changing. And more and more, they're obviously, obviously sports are entities, and their job is to put a compelling product out. At the end of the day, they want to put out the best product because they want to sell the most. They want to get more viewers. They want to get people returning. And for the longest, obviously, sports, whether we're talking about NFL, basketball, hockey, baseball, they've done that. But it hasn't been at the detriment of the integrity of the sport. What it feels like is these last few situations, fights, years, the integrity of boxing has been taking a hit. Whether that's Francis Ngannou gets his first fight against Tyson Fury, who is the heavyweight champion of the world, or his second fight going against Anthony Joshua and getting brutally knocked out, which kind of reminds the world that there is much difference between UFC and boxing. Not saying one is better than the other, but a UFC fighter is at a much, much different advantage or disadvantage in a boxing ring. And a boxer is at a much, much different disadvantage in a UFC octagon. Or you have everything that's going on with Jake Paul, whether he's fighting retired UFC fighters or retired old boxers. It just feels like the integrity of boxing has taken a hit year after year after year. And this is a prime example. Mike Tyson. I understand. I see the clips of Mike Tyson and how brutal he still looks in the ring. But Mike Tyson's like 74? And Jake Paul is like 20-something? What are we doing? It doesn't even matter who I think can win or not, because it obviously this is for pure entertainment. Yeah. I don't know, man. It's just like when I saw that, I was like, oh, this is where we're going. Okay. All right. Well, okay. There you have it, man. That's been today's episode of the Unpopular Podcast. I truly, truly appreciate you guys. If you want an Unpopular Podcast shirt, hoodie, sweater, long sleeve joggers, the link is in the description below. I have multiple different colors, multiple different designs. Get your Unpopular Podcast merch today. Also, please subscribe to the YouTube channel. I'm trying to get as many subscribers as possible. I appreciate all of you guys. If you like the content, if you like, you know, the clips, the reels, tell a friend, tell a friend, tell a friend to subscribe. It definitely means a lot. Also, for all my DSP listeners and people that, whether that's Apple Podcasts or Spotify or Pandora, SoundCloud, if you are part of the DSPs and you like what you're listening to, please subscribe. It definitely means a lot. I understand that I have some people that just listen on the DSP, some people that just watch on YouTube. Both of you guys are extremely important, so please subscribe on both. However you tune into the Unpopular Podcast, I appreciate it. Also, please subscribe to the socials, whether that's Instagram, whether that's TikTok. I post pretty much daily. That's where we can debate. That's where we can agree. That's where you can tell me how great my takes are, how bad my takes are. It's up to you. Just follow the TikToks and Instagram. Again, TikToks. TikTok or Instagram. And connect with me as if you want. And until next time, much love.